percent are shutting them off, because obviously a lot of Americans don't want to be tracked. But anyway, so just food for thought. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans 3:23. We're going to use this verse. Everybody should know it. It's pretty common verse. But if we don't know it, we'll know it tonight, right? Anyway, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful again for our continued study on the doctrine of sin. And Father, I pray, as we know your word says, for all, meaning every last one of us, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I pray, Father, that through our continued study, we'll learn some more about it. We'll see that Satan always makes it look appealing, always wants us to go that way because it can drive that wedge between us and you. So, Father, I pray tonight that we'd learn some things, apply to our lives, take out and share with others, and we'll be drawn closer to you because of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, what is the nature of sin? What is the nature of sin? Sin has not always existed. Sin is not eternal. Isn't that nice? There's going to be a day when we are not going to have to deal with sin. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. I tell you, I'm so tired of Satan constantly trying to trip me up and stuff. And so it's going to be nice when we don't have to deal with sin at some point in time, because it's not eternal. We also know that it has not always existed. There was a time on this earth where sin did not exist. Can you imagine? So I said last week, going through that Garden of Eden and just plucking food off the trees and eating it and not having to plow, not having to, I tell you, I don't know about weeds. It just seems like one minute they're this tall and the next minute they're this tall. And you got one and the next minute you got hundreds. And so they multiply quickly. But interesting how it hasn't always been that way. Be nice if it wasn't still, but as I keep telling everyone, whether it was Adam who sinned or one of us, it would have happened. It's just man is bent on doing his own thing. And we see that all around us. And then sin was brought into existence and into God's created universe by an unprovoked free will act of rebellion. Over and over and over, when we talk about sin, and by the way, this was Lucifer who did this, when I talk about sin, I don't ever sugarcoat the fact that we just haphazardly fell into sin or something. No, we willingly went into it. The temptation was put out there. God gave us a way of escape, and we chose the sin. It's pretty simple. We knowingly, willfully sin. Now, sometimes it looks very appealing, so it's hard to believe that we willingly went to the sin, but no, we did. We have a choice. God has told us with every temptation, he has given us a way of escape. With every temptation. So when we're tempted and we sin, and by the way, you start conversing about it, you've already done it. You're on the road to doing it already. So you're already, I mean, it's already in your mind. You've conversed about it. You're ready to do it. And so there won't be any turning back at that point. It just seems like you just follow it through. But sin was brought into human race by a free will act and rebellion on the part of Adam. Adam wants to blame. I always love it when he says, the woman that thou gavest me. Like it was God's fault. Well, you got to blame somebody, right? So, but, you know, it's interesting. But, so, guys, we all like to say it was Eve's fault. But no, Eve was deceived, the Bible tells us. Adam willingly disobeyed God. Adam's the reason why sin passed upon all. And then sin is far more than the absence of good. Sin is an active force. It's It's an active force. We have Satan. What's the Bible tell us? He goes to and fro in all the earth, seeking whom he may devour. I tell you, you want Satan to start bothering you, start doing something. Start doing that. The people who aren't active doing anything, Satan doesn't care about. They're not making any difference in the world. But you do something for God, and Satan's going to be after you. How do you get Satan to flee from you? The Bible tells us, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you, and Satan will flee. So we can serve God, draw nigh to God, and Satan will flee from us. Because when we draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to us. Satan then flees. Why? Because Satan knows that God's going to take care of us, right? But when we're out there in our sin, we've driven a wedge between us and God. That fellowship, not the relationship, but the fellowship is now broken. We've given Satan that in. How many times have I said, you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile? He's not going to be happy till he destroys your life, your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants it to be of no effect. And how many times have I said, Christians give Christians a bad name, because we got all these people out there professing to be Christians that have given Christians a bad name, and then you got people going, well, you guys don't live any different than I do. When the truth of the matter is, they're right. A lot of Christians don't. And that's why I said we got to quit calling them Christians and just call them saved people, because they were Christians at Antioch, first called Christians at Antioch because they were Christ-like. If we're not going to be Christ-like, let's not tell people we're a Christian. Now, if you're being Christ-like, use it all you want, right? But if you're not, let's stay away from that. But sin is far more than making a mistake. It is more than failure or weakness. It's not just making a mistake. Well, I just made a mistake. We always think that we could get away with it. It's kind of like, I'm going to pick on them again, sorry. But they just make it too easy. You know, I can't make this stuff up. You know, down in California, the governor says, don't go out. Not supposed to go to restaurants, not supposed to be around people, not supposed to do this, not supposed to be out without a mask, not supposed to, and then he gets caught. He's not sorry that he did it, he's sorry he got caught. It's very obvious, if anybody watched his apology, he's sorry he got caught. Well, is that really repentance? No, not in the least. He didn't just make a mistake, he willfully went against his own order. But he wants to throw the book at everybody else if they do. No, I mean, I think it's interesting the way they try to do this. But we will never deal successfully with our sins while excusing them as weaknesses, mistakes, or uncontrollable emotions or desires. We're not going to have success over it unless we call it what God calls it. Sin is sin. No, I get that some sins have greater consequences. But according to this book, if we're guilty in one, we're guilty in all. You know, we like to say, well, this sin is worth a 10, and this one's worth an 8, and this one's worth a, you know. But God says if you're guilty in one, you're guilty in all of them. So how can you say which one? And again, consequences, there are different consequences. I always tell people, I said, make your children learn consequences when they're not so expensive. Because when they get older and the consequences become more severe, they're harder to deal with then. So if they learn that there's a consequence to what they choose to do, then as they get older, they know, oh, there's a consequence to that. Maybe I should stay away from it because I don't like the consequences. Oh, in today's day and age, we don't have many parents, unfortunately, that are training their kids in what's right and what's wrong. And nothing gets to me more than to watch a kid throw a temper tantrum and the parents give in. I want to beat the parent. Because it's like, you should have been trained on how to raise this child. And obviously you haven't been. And so maybe if you get what you should have gotten, maybe you'll understand why it would be a good effect on them. And he'll go, well, you can't do that anymore. I'm sorry, but the government isn't raising my kids. I don't need the government to raise kids, right? We could do that ourselves. And thank God, you know, there's a lot of people who are not having their children involved in anything in the government anymore, including public schools, because of all that's been going on with that. And it's amazing. I saw a thing out today that educational thing that they're putting in for all the kids starting at 5 years old. Do you know that passed overwhelmingly on the west side of the state? Spokane is only one of a few counties that turned it down. And of course, it went statewide, so you don't have a choice over here. But it's amazing. And who was behind pushing it? Planned Parenthood. Between Planned Parenthood and the teachers' unions, they raised over $2 million to make sure that passed. Just in Washington State. Yeah. So there's a lot of people who are pulling. In fact, three of our districts here, West Valley, Central Valley, and East Valley, all urged the governor not to sign it. That it would not become law. Of course, that fell on deaf ears. But anyway, where do we think all this comes from? It's all sin. Sin is the underlying thing for all of this. So we must confess and agree with God that our sin is open rebellion against Him. That's what it is. Doesn't sound so good now, does it? Doesn't sound as appealing as Satan makes it sound when we know what it really is. And then sin has no independent measurement. Sin must derive its measurements from that which is positive or good. One may assume good apart from evil, which indeed was true historically, but evil cannot exist apart from good. Now, what do we have going on in the world today? Evil is good and good is evil. I mean, they've just flip-flopped everything. And it's like, who came up with that idea? Well, it's so that you don't feel bad about your sin. Because your evil sin is now good. And that's what they're trying to indoctrinate in our public school system and our universities, colleges, and all that. And they want you to fall for it. Well, if you're following the Word of God, you're not going to let that stuff get in. But if you're not following the Word of God, then what are you going to listen to? All that garbage. And they're at 5 years old, they're going to start educating children on things that they have no business knowing anything about at 5 years old. It's crazy. By its very nature, sin must oppose and pervert something its opposite. Every sin is in reality a perversion of some good principle or desire. Sin always attempts to rationalize itself as good. Oh, come on. Don't you want to? Come on, it's not that big a deal. God will understand. I've heard that more times than I... grates on my every nerve every time I hear it. God does not understand why He sent His only begotten Son to the cross to die for our sins, and then we go out and willfully commit the same one over and over and over and over and over, thinking it's no big deal and that He understands. He doesn't have to understand. I don't know how He could understand when His Word tells us that He hates sin. And that His only begotten Son had to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He who knew no sin became sin for us. It's kind of interesting how we think that God will understand. If God understands sin, somebody explain to me why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because if God would understand our sin, then why would our sin have to be paid for by the death of his only begotten Son? Because God would understand, right? He understands that we're human, we're going to sin. He understands that. No, I think when he gave us an escape from that, when he, if you're saved anyway, you're free from the bondage of sin. Why go back to it? Why go back to it? Interesting. The man who refuses to worship his Creator on Sundays does not do so brazenly admitting his contempt for his Creator, but rather boasting that he has more integrity than the hypocrite on the pew. I can't tell you how many times I've been told, I don't have to go to church to worship God. And that's a true statement. I don't have to go to church to worship God. But to continue in fellowship with God, I have to go to church. Right? Because he tells us we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of the saints together. So we're supposed to be in church when the doors are open. It's what we're supposed to do. But those people say, well, I can worship wherever I'm at. Doesn't matter. But if you refuse to worship the Creator on Sunday in his house, what makes me think you're going to worship him anywhere else? And if you're in willful rebellion against his command, what makes you think that I'm going to think that you're going to worship him somewhere else? Not going to happen. I've had people tell me, I can ski the slopes on Sunday and worship God. You're not thinking about God when you're coming down them slopes. And I got news for you. If I was coming down the slopes, the only thing I'd be thinking is I'm going to hit one of them trees. Would have nothing to do with what's going on spiritually. It would just be, I don't want to smack that tree because it's going to hurt. I can, out on the boat, I can worship God. Now, I can tell you, I've been out on a boat before, and I've been looking at the mountains and the hillsides and all the rock outcroppings and all, and thinking, wow, look at what God created. Giving him all the glory and all. So it can happen. But I'm also in church on Sunday. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's some people who'd rather go out fishing and not even think twice about God, except for when they come back and say, man, I don't know why God didn't let us have any fish. Well, maybe because you weren't in his house when you were supposed to be. Just a thought. Those profiting off the murder of unborn children in the womb disguise their wicked act as compassion for the mother. I have heard this so many times. As freedom of choice, as removing the oppressive burdens of a patriarchal society off of women, and even most ironically of all, as preventing the future sufferings of the child who might have been born in a home where it would not have been properly loved and cared for. I heard that out of the mouth of a child advocate. How can you be a child advocate if you think that children should be aborted? Is that not hypocritical? How can you be on both sides of that? It's like people all the time. I'm anti-abortion, but I vote for abortionists. You can't be anti-abortion if you vote for abortionists. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. It drives me nuts. But how can you defend children and think they should be aborted at the same time? You can't. And by the way, while I'm on the subject, children are a gift from God. God is the giver and taker of life. Man should not ever choose to take a life. Shouldn't happen. That's God's choice. Now, I understand capital punishment and stuff. People say, well, are you for capital punishment? Yes, God said to. There's got to be a deterrent. But that's because that was God's word saying it, not because it was my word saying it. People go, well, you can't be a Christian and be pro-death penalty. God is. So why can't I be? So I know I have that conversation on occasion with some people, and it's like, it's in the book. Problem is, some people don't read the book. And they only want to take the parts they like. Even something as overtly wicked, as vile as Satanism, attempts to disguise itself as good in that it rails against the hypocrisy, self-righteousness, failures, and inconsistencies of Christians and churches. It attempts to justify its rejection of God as a good thing by arguing that it is God who is evil for allowing so much suffering on this earth. Why do we have suffering on the earth? Not because of God. It's because of man's sin. It's what it comes down to. Is there still sin in the world? Oh yeah, just open your eyes. It's everywhere. It's blatant. Used to be that people would be embarrassed. Nobody'd dream of going to the store in their pajamas. Now that's what they wear, thinking that's the normal. I'm like, your mother should have taught you to get dressed before you went outside. But they didn't. And now they're training their kids not to. And pretty soon, and you know, like I've said before, my grandfather used to say they'd go out half naked. Well, now it's three quarters or more naked before they even. And it's in your face all the time, so it's not offensive anymore, right? People are getting so used to it. I don't think I'll ever get used to it. Can't tell you how many times I've gotten. It's almost nice not being able to go to the grocery store because I have to have a mask and I have a medical condition for that. So it's kind of nice because I can't tell you how many times I had to do this because I didn't want to see what was coming forward. And it's hard to shop when you're looking like this because they don't hang anything up there very often, you know. Might be a balloon or something up there, but that's about it. And it's ridiculous. But I don't want to see that stuff. And we shouldn't have to. Sin cannot exist without good to oppose. Strangely, sin even seeks to attach itself to good. The goal of Satan is always to corrupt the good things of the perfect creation of God. Satan has taken, he's a counterfeiter. He takes everything that God has created that's good, and he's turned it into evil. But he makes you think it's good. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. I've said many times, if, you know, we had the old devil in the ears and the pitchfork and the tail and all that, if that's what we saw when we saw sin, we'd say, yeah, I don't want to be anywhere near that. That's not good. But he doesn't. He disguises it, makes it look good and appealing. And it appeals to the flesh. And then Satan claims to offer the pleasures of sin, but all he can offer are cheap counterfeits of God's true joys. Tell you, yeah, that's all he's got to offer. God created love, marriage, and sex, and all Satan can do is offer adultery and perversion. Satanists steal Christianity and Jewish symbols to turn them upside down and pervert them. Exactly. I had a guy one time, he was out on the street, and he said to me, he goes, I'm tired of this group running around with the rainbow. God is the one that created the rainbow. Why do they have the rainbow on their flag when all they've done is pervert what God has done that's good? That's because that's how Satan works. He only perverts what God has made that's good. God gave us the rainbow. Why? So that it's a reminder he's not going to flood the entire earth again. I had a guy one day, he says, that's not true. Did you see all the flooding going on and all? I said, the entire planet has not been underwater since the flood. And it won't be ever again, because God said he won't do that. So yes, there will be floods in some place. Why? Again, sin. Why do we think, I had a guy arguing with me about COVID-19. I said, it's because of sin. No, it's not. It's a virus. What's that got to do with whether or not it's because of sin? Do you think when God created Adam and Eve in the garden and all, that where there was the absence of sin, that there was COVID-19 running around? No. It's because of sin. We need to get that. And then, sin always creates division. While good can be in unity with itself, sin often battles with itself. Yeah. Amazing. Sin creates division. We see it all the time, right? I mean, I've preached on how many times that we've got abortion going on. That's because of sin. It creates division. I cannot vote for somebody who is pro-abortion. There's a division there. I've told you over and over and over, the ecumenical movement wants me to get together and pray with all these different religions. I can't, because there's a division. We don't believe the same book. We don't worship the same God. I can't. There's a division. And it's because of sin. Somebody asked me one time, he says, well, even Baptists can't make up their mind on the right version of the Bible. I said, because of sin. If we could get it in our heads, what book God gave us to the English-speaking people, because I'm English-speaking, not very well most of the time, but I do speak English, the King James Version of the Bible. We could agree on that. But you can go into Baptist churches and you can get the English Standard Version, you can get the New King James, you can get the NIV, you can get, I mean, just about any smorgasbord you want of them. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, I talk to missionaries that come in here, talk to evangelists that come in here, and they tell me different churches they go to, some of the people use a different Bible. I said, I found that out the hard way. Teaching, I was actually finished filling in for the pastor while I was gone, and we were going through the ABCs of the Bible. I thought, well, let's get some class participation. I'll just have them read from the Bibles, right? So I had them reading the verses. All of a sudden, one of the guys read from something that I don't even know which one it was. I think it was the NIV, if I remember correctly. But I went, that's not, well, praise the Lord, somebody spoke up and said, what are you reading? Well, I'm reading the Bible. Not this one. and called out on it. I said, note to self, in the future, don't have people read. Because you don't know. You assume that they're in a church that teaches that that's what we use. I've never run across that here. And I hope I don't. But I'll tell you what, I've had visitors come. And after being here one or two times, can I get a copy of that King James? Yeah. I have some in my office. I'll give them to you. I give them out because I want them to be in the right book. Had a gal just recently. She said, can I pay you for that? No. I'm going to give it to you because I want you to use it. I want you to have it. I don't want it to cost you. I don't want it to. I'm going to give it to you. I don't buy expensive ones to give away. If they're going to stick around and they're going to stay in the book, then I'll consider it. But I'll at least give them the right copy so they're on the right track. All right, I'm out of time. So we're going to stop there.